Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Tanya Charitamrita Adi Lila Chapter 1 Text 84 Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Godadaye Pushpavanto Chitro Shando Tamonudo. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Om Agnitirmanandasya. Today is the special day for all of you who sometimes feel that Krishna consciousness is too difficult and impossible. Today is your day. When we look at the state of the world and when we look at the state of our hearts, of our minds, we begin to wonder, will I ever be able to complete this most glorious process of bhakti, transcendental loving service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Today, you get more than reassurance. Today, you get everything put in your hands. Today, you get access to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. You get access to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all by approaching the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Akabe nitai chand karana hoibe samsaramoch kabe tuchahabe. When Lord Nityananda is merciful upon me, then my material desires will become insignificant. Meaning, so tiny it's not even worth talking about. When will that day come? We are hearing an extraordinarily beautiful and poetic description of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. How they are together. The beautiful literary analogy given is of the sun and moon rising together. You have never seen this happen. Yet that is what the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda is like. Together these two suns have arisen and made an illumination so intense that even people in the age of Kali can see. And that is the greatest accomplishment. Kali Yuga means darkness. You can't see yourself and you can't see anything around you, but you think you know everything. That's Kali Yuga. You think you've got it all together. As an individual, you think you're intellectually competent. You think you have world experience. As a society, you think, yes, the economic system will lead to all success. This is the deep darkness of ignorance. Ignorance so intense that you don't even recognize it. You think it's illumination. Isn't that the definition of the mode of ignorance as given by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita? You mistake nescience for enlightenment. This is what's happening today. Naturally, you have a right to think, how could anyone be Krishna conscious in such circumstances? You're right to think that way. How could I be Krishna consciousness in these circumstances? We've spoken before about how Srila Prabhupada also felt like that upon approaching the USA on the boat Jaladuta. In the harbor, he wrote his prayers, Markine Bhagavad Dharma. How will these people ever be Krishna conscious? But I know Krishna put them into Maya, and that same Krishna can bring them out of Maya. If they just will hear Srimad Bhagavatam, their hearts will become cleansed. It is perfectly following in the footsteps. It is perfect parampara for you to wonder, how will people ever be Krishna conscious? And of course, that wonder begins with your looking in the mirror at yourself. But then you consider the facilities that have been given to you. And that is the key to success. The sun and moon have arisen together. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda have appeared together. Why? Being compassionate, Kaviraj Goswami says, for the fallen state of the world. The two brothers, in their manifestation in this world, are simply motivated by compassion. That is the dynamics of the appearance of these two lords. And we, as their humble followers, also want to be motivated by compassion. In the beginning, you seek to serve Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, out of duty. It is the order coming down through disciple succession. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva dharman prichaja, mam ekam sharanam vraja. Abandon all concepts of what you think is dharma, Krishna says, and just surrender to him. Lord Chaitanya, as you know, gives the same order. Yare deko tare koho Krishna upadesh, ama agya guru hoya taro edesh. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, teach them the science of Krishna. That is the same as Krishna saying, surrender to me. So this order comes down through disciple succession. And we begin our entrance into the ocean of compassion just by taking that order. Like military discipline, the soldier does what the commander says. First, there's the sense of duty. I'm following the order. And then from that sense of duty, real compassion starts to manifest. How can I not do something for these most fallen persons? How can I not do something for the most fallen state of the world? Such motivation naturally springs from the heart, like water coming from a fountain. You look, you see, you hear all the suffering, all the ignorance, all the bewilderment. You naturally want to do something. It's a spontaneous outpouring. Because we are following Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, we have that inheritance of the spontaneous outpouring of compassion. It will come in time. First is the sense of duty. I've been ordered to do this. Then you'll see the real feelings of compassion pour out. Dealing with ignorance is a serious business. the depths of darkness are so great that we have to be educated to understand how great are those depths. Because the darkness is just so all-encompassing, we take it as normal. The Bhakti Yoga process teaches us what is darkness and what is illumination. That basic insight is given by Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. By their illumination, they drive away darkness and they let you see what is real. The darkness can be described on two levels according to the state of human civilization. If you want to describe the darkness of ignorance in an advanced way, advanced ignorance, what is that? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. That's advanced ignorance. You perform religion, pious activities in order to get prosperity. When there's prosperity, you can gratify your senses. And after a long life of sense gratification, then when you're very old, you start to think about moksha. Escape from material suffering, merging into the impersonal Brahman. Nowhere are you thinking about the devotional service of the Lord. So this is classic ignorance, advanced ignorance. Srila Prabhupada describes in a purport how this advanced ignorance, this classic ignorance, is an artificial covering over the heart. What's being covered by this artificial substance? The real impulse in the heart is to love Krishna and serve Krishna for no other reason. In every heart is that impulse to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord for no ulterior motivation. What the classic ignorance, the advanced ignorance does, is cover that impulse, that pure impulse, cover it with apparently sophisticated endeavors of religious rituals, all for the sake of enhancing one's material situation, or metaphysical studies for the sake of merging into the Supreme, or mystic powers for the sake of advanced sense gratification. But in any case, no one is thinking about devotional service to the Lord. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, of these types of classic ignorance or advanced ignorance, we'll explain why we say it's advanced ignorance, but of these types of classic advanced ignorance, the most dangerous is to merge into the Supreme Lord. Because there's no conception whatsoever that you are Krishna's servant. We are hearing yesterday in a very beautiful class by Govinda Prabhu how Srila Prabhupada spent so much time demolishing impersonalism, demolishing Mayavad. A progressive impersonalist is one who enters into the Brahman phase and then has no objection to seeing further to Paramatma realization, to Bhagavan realization. Shukadeva Goswami was like that. He said, I was perfectly merged in Brahman, and then I heard the glories of Bhagavatam. The four Kumaras were like that. until they smelt the dust particles from the lotus feet of the Lord. Classic ignorance is one thing, but you rarely find that classic ignorance today. Today you find degraded ignorance. What is that degraded ignorance? All problems will be solved through economic growth and development. Forget Dharma. Let's cut straight to the chase. Why do we need Dharma in order to have Artha? Just have Artha. Just have economic development. Who cares for mystic powers when the delights of consumerism can easily be purchased if you have the money? No need to consider such metaphysical luxuries as merging into the impersonal Brahman. And of course, kama, sense gratification, is the nectar of life. It's the juice that keeps the healthy human being functioning. So this is degraded ignorance. Not even Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, which is criticized so thoroughly in Bhagavatam. Kaviraja Goswami wants us to understand this so that we can truly appreciate what Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, who have arisen together like the sun and the moon, are giving you. By their action, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, they illuminate the depths of your heart. And you can see how the darkness, in this day and age, the degraded darkness of ignorance has gripped your whole heart. Through economic advancement, I'll be happy. When the wealth increases, my satisfaction increases. All these notions have now been disproved, even by mundane scientists. But still, people cling tightly because there's no alternative. When we look at the twin action of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, as revealed in the Shastra, we find that they introduce you to the two Bhagavats. They illuminate the heart, and then they let you see things as they are. What is there to see? You see the action of the book Bhagavat, the Srimad Bhagavatam. You see the action of the person Bhagavat, the devotee of the Lord. You can see how these two Bhagavats are working together to purify your heart. By the action of these two Bhagavats, bhakti rasa is produced in the heart. The nectar of devotional service is churned. The action of these two Bhagavats is the conduit through which the Lord works his wonders in your heart. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the sun and the moon, risen together, they illuminate this most crucial event in the human form of life. They let you see it, even though we are living in the most dense, dark age. They let you see how bhakti rasa is produced in the heart. While all around you, the world is absorbed in degraded ignorance. They've long forgotten classic ignorance. This introduction to the two Bhagavats, the book and the person, are not any routine or insignificant event. This is a landmark event going on in your heart. Let us read from Kaviraj Goswami. One of the Bhagavats is the great scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam. The other is the pure devotee absorbed in the mellows of loving devotion. Through the action of these two Bhagavats, the Lord instills the mellows of transcendental loving service into the heart of a living being. And thus, that's not the end. The Lord instills the bhakti rasa through the two Bhagavats in your heart. And then, when that bhakti rasa is there in your heart, the Lord comes under the control of it. This is the miracle of bhakti. The Lord in the heart of his devotee comes under the control of the devotee's love. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, let you see all this in the most densely dark age. They're letting you see the most exquisite thing, the rarest thing. Sometimes we even take it for granted. Oh, bhakti rasa, devotional service. It's going on all the time. There's always service to do. There's always kirtan going on somewhere. What is the big deal? Never allow yourself to become familiar toward devotional service and the action of the two Bhagavats. Never allow that. Once we become familiar and take it as a daily event, our heart will start to become hard again. Calluses will develop on the heart. Just like on the heel of your foot, after a while the skin becomes hard, the heel of your foot becomes hard. So similarly, if we take bhakti rasa as a routine daily affair, if we take the action of the two Bhagavats, book Bhagavat and person Bhagavata, as a routine thing, a religious happening, which goes on everywhere, as soon as that kind of familiarity enters the heart, then we lose sight of the action of the two lords. And we can easily lose our footing in the dense darkness of the age of Kali. We always want to hold on high the action of the two Bhagavats, which Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda have caused to happen and allow us to see what's happening. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, out of compassion for the devotees, I, dwelling in their hearts, will dispel the darkness born of ignorance with the shining torch of knowledge. This is done so easily and effectively in this most fallen age by the action of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. It's very good for us to meditate on this engineering process that's happening in the heart. So many of you are engineers trained in applied science. Kaviraj Goswami is letting you know the most miraculous, stunning engineering process ever. How in the most filthy age the heart will become full of bhakti rasa to the extent that Krishna will come under the control of the bhakti rasa in your heart. You'll see it. You'll feel it. And you'll be able, by Lord Nityananda's mercy, to cause that change in others. These are the inner secrets of the Krishna consciousness movement. Today I would like to discuss another aspect of Lord Nityananda, now that we've heard the beautiful poetic allegory, analogy of the sun and the moon rising together, something you've never seen before. Now that you've heard how the illumination of this sun and the moon that have arisen on the horizon of Gaudiya, the illumination dissipates the darkness and lets you see what's really going on. Once again, it's amazing that in the age of color, you can actually talk about Bhakti Rasa. You can actually perceive it happening in the most dark age. Consider, for example, Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada's summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Such an extraordinary work, presenting the action of bhakti in both the practice stage and the spontaneous stage, and then onward to the loving mellows. So confident was Srila Prabhupada about the power of nectar devotion that he said, just to emphasize the potency, he said, even if you perform devotional service mechanically day after day, if you read nectar devotion every day, still you'll attain the platform of spontaneous bhakti rag. This is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. They're letting you see the greatest miracle, the greatest mystery in action. The development of bhakti rasa in the heart and how Krishna will come under the control of that bhakti rasa. How? Tell me how. Otherwise, could you see such a thing in Kali Yuga? We shouldn't take it for granted. This is the day in which we can recognize that miracle and give thanks to Lord Nityananda, who on behalf of Lord Chaitanya does the impossible. But today I would like to speak about Lord Nityananda as Balaram, the origin of the sentiment of service, bhakti bhava, the emotions of devotional service, the emotions of being a devotee, the origin of this bhakti bhava is Balaram, Lord Nityananda. You know, the only difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram basically is that Lord Krishna is blackish bluish and Balaram is whitish. Balaram is the first expansion of the Lord for the purpose of serving the Lord. So from Balaram comes the whole emotions of being Krishna's servant. This can be traced back to Balaram, Lord Nityananda. During Krishna Lila, Balaram acts toward Krishna in three ways: as his guru, as his servant, as his friend. Similarly, in Chaitanya Lila, Nityananda Prabhu acts toward Lord Chaitanya in those same three ways: as guru, servant, and friend. Lord Nityananda sees himself as the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Advaita Acharya describes that sometimes he and Nityananda Prabhu will just jump up and down, suddenly shouting, "I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya, I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda and I are the servants of Lord Chaitanya." Then they'll sit down and be quiet. Just think of these surges of ecstatic love. When will that day come when we can follow in their footsteps and suddenly jump up from our seats, proclaiming to the world, "I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya. I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya. I'm the servant of his servants." And then suddenly you sit down again. Perhaps we'll see that in one of your spontaneous dramas. Maybe in the middle of a Bhagavatam class, all of a sudden. Radha Gopinath jumps up. I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya. I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Nityananda and I are servants of Lord Chaitanya. We're the servants of his servants. Again and again, and jumping up and down saying that. Suddenly, then in the middle of the class, they just sit down and they're quiet. As I said, the origin of this origin of these emotions of servitude is Lord Nityananda. Kaviraj Goswami asked the question, who is it in the spiritual or material world who lacks this emotion of servitude? Everyone has it. The gopis in Vrindavan have it. The cowherd boys have it. Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj have it. You can't find anyone anywhere that doesn't have the emotions of a servant. Balaram, Lord Nityananda, they are the origins of that emotion of servitude. This is how important Lord Nityananda is. You read in Chaitanya Charitamrita how Balaram, Lord Nityananda, generally speaking, during Ram Lila, was the younger brother of Ram. And therefore, when Ram made the decision to undergo hardships, exile in the Dandakaranya forest, Lakshman couldn't stop him because he's the younger brother. So therefore, the Shastra tells us, in the next appearance of the Lord, as Swayam Bhagavan, Balaram, or Lord Nityananda, decided, in order to better render service, this time I'll be the older brother. This shows you to what extent we should go, to what extent we should act in order to get devotional service. Better situation for devotional service means a better situation for selflessness. Balaram, Nityananda Ram was thinking like that. As Lakshman, my situation wasn't the best for me to do my service. I couldn't stop Ram from undergoing hardships. Therefore, next time, I'll put myself in a more conducive situation. What, for his own pleasure? No, for rendering service to Krishna. This sentiment originates with Lord Balaram, who is Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, the real devotee that we aspire to be is always thinking, how can I put myself in a better situation for serving Krishna? Better situation means not for my comfort, but for Krishna's pleasure. That spirit, that emotion of selfless service emanates from Lord Balaram, Nityananda Prabhu. This is a perhaps more hidden glory of Balaram, Nityananda Ram. During the drama today, you heard the verse recited from Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Nityananda Ram, we offer our obeisances to him because from him comes Mahasankarshan in Vaikuntha. From him comes Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Chiyodakshaya Vishnu. From him comes Sheshanag. These are the opulent glories of Nityananda Ram. But perhaps the more hidden glory is Lord Nityananda, Balaram as the origin of the Bhakti Bhava. The fount of the emotions of servitude. These emotions of servitude are such an essential part of our Krishna consciousness. Indeed, it is the everything. We forget sometimes that bhakti is the perfection of emotional expression. We may become overwhelmed by the emotions of the material world and take them to be so prominent. And by doing so, we automatically deprive ourselves of understanding the emotions of the spiritual world. The description of these emotions and their science is given in Nectar of Devotion. At first, the second half of Nectar Devotion will seem far beyond us. You can turn page after page in the beginning of your devotional career. Turn page after page of the second half of Nectar Devotion, and it's all like reading Greek. You recognize some names, Sridhama, Sudhama, Radha, Vishaka, Lalita, but the whole science of rasa, other than a little tiny, tiny, tiny glimpse, it just seems like you're reading Egyptian hieroglyphics or something. But then you notice a miracle as the years of selfless service go by. That second half of Nectar Devotion becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. With your analytical intelligence, you may not understand everything that's going on in that second half and how one point leads to the other or how one point is classified this way, that way. But the taste is just so unfathomable. You're practically just driven in a tizzy by the taste that's there, even though with your cognitive intelligence, you can't figure out what's going on. All you know is, oh, this is the taste of the reality I'm always hankering for. What's happening then is that your original spiritual emotions are starting to awaken. You're starting to recognize the super excellence of bhakti bhava, the emotions of being a devotee, as compared to the pale, perverted equivalents in material existence. Mayavada is so distasteful to us because there's no question of bhakti bhava. How can you live without the emotions of a devotee? The Mayavadis want to show that the impossible can happen. It doesn't happen. So the origin of these emotions is bhakti bhava. That is Nityananda Prabhu. And today we want to especially glorify Nityananda Avadhut for emanating to us the emotions of a devotee, the emotions of servitude. Once we begin to see this bhakti rasa happening in the heart, once we begin to recognize the super excellence of devotee emotions, then we can know that we're making spiritual progress. The taste we get from selfless service, we'll never give it up. Nothing can compare to that. And we're constantly looking at our circumstances. How can I be more selfless? How can I juggle my life, arrange my lifestyle, so that more of that selfless devotional spirit, that bhakti bhava, can be mine? This is real wealth that we want to be greedy for. When this impulse comes upon us, the material emotions begin to fade into insignificance. Conditioned souls like to be emotional in the material world. No one can live without some rasa, so material existence means perverted rasa. Unless you're tasting some perverted rasa, you'll commit, if you're not tasting any perverted rasa, you'll commit suicide. When you feel there's no hope for me to taste any perverted rasa that's appealing to me, I might as well die. But those perverted rasas, which are the foundation, the be-all and end-all of material existence, they fade into the background as the bhakti rasa develops. And this bhakti rasa, the emotions, the bhakti bhava, the emotions of being a devotee, this comes from Lord Nityananda Balaram. Hopefully now we can understand the tremendous disservice done when both classic advanced ignorance and the current degraded ignorance cover the heart. You can't feel this bhakti bhava. Whether you try through mystic powers, whether you try through impersonal liberation, whether you try through religious rituals, you cannot function as a healthy living entity because there's no bhakti bhava. Finally, I would like to turn to a section of Chaitanya Charitamrita where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is going to explain Lord Nityananda's personal mercy upon him. Devotees are always eager to hear how another devotee is getting the mercy of the Lord. And the account that Kaviraj Goswami writes about his getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda is so stunningly beautiful in description. The description is beautiful, and his humility is unforgettable. How is it that someone who is undergoing these most exalted experiences presents himself as more sinful than Jagai and Madai? You saw. Who was playing Jagai? Who's that? Hrishikesh Ananda. He was getting so worked up for his dramatic performance that right before he started, he was getting into the mood. He thought he was sitting down on the floor, and he just sat squarely on my ankle. Of course, I felt that I had been blessed. He was very embarrassed, but and then I was wondering, what's going on? This normally doesn't happen at Radha Gopinath Mandir. Normally, everywhere you go, every step you take here, someone is being very mindful and careful. Oh, this is an older devotee. So then when he landed on my ankle with great energy, I was, what's going to happen next? I didn't know there was going to be a drama or anything. And then just 60 seconds later, he emerged in the full ecstasy of Jagai. I said, okay, now I understand. Kaviraj Goswami says he's more sinful than Jagai Madai. Lower than a worm in stool. Now, is he speaking just poetry? Thinking, oh, this will sound very good in Chaitanya Charitamrita. All the Vaishnavas will think I'm humble. My reputation in Vrindavan will increase. Now, it's very inconceivable to understand that he actually feels this way. The author of what is known throughout all Gaudiya Vaishnava circles as the most exquisite Vaishnava literature. He's actually thinking himself to be like that. This is inconceivable. I'm more sinful than Jagai Madai, lower than a worm in stool. Anyone who hears my name loses the effect of all their pious activities. This is a mystery of bhakti, how a devotee can actually feel that way. There's no material explanation for it. And mundane psychologists can't understand it. They think we're just like caught up in some kind of self-defacing kind of syndrome, you know? Ego-negating kind of syndrome, which is very psychologically unhealthy. They can't understand that such behavior is a natural outgrowth of spiritual development. As the heart becomes pure, such behavior springs forth, which is inconceivable to mundane analysis. Just think, any mundane author of a world-famous book, considering himself to be uneducated, considering himself to be the lowest of men. It's like Maharaj was mentioning this movie the other night, Slumdog Millionaire. Now, the directors of that movie are presenting themselves as the worldwide heroes of India. We have conquered all the box offices of the world. We are spreading the glories of Bharat everywhere by creating this movie, which is so revered by everyone. All glories to us. Then we look at Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pinnacle of Vaishnava literature, and the author is presenting himself as more sinful than Jagai and Madhai, who were robbers, rapists, drunkards, assaulting brahmanas, presenting himself as lower than a worm in stool. And he's not saying that as a literary ornament. He's saying that because he really feels himself to be that way. This is the effect of bhakti bhava. Very humbly now, he wants to present to you the mercy Lord Nityananda has shown upon him. Normally, he said, I shouldn't explain these things. It's actually confidential. Normally, he says, such things should not be spoken. But to glorify Lord Nityananda and his mercy, he'll talk about these things. An important part of this presentation by Kaviraj Goswami is that we understand you cannot deal with Lord Chaitanya without dealing with Lord Nityananda and vice versa. Any attempt to separate the two produces a very damaging effect on one's spiritual life. This combination of Chaitanya Leela and Krishna Leela is our heart and soul. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya. Lord Chaitanya is none other than Radha Krishna combined. So the reader of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the devotee of Panchatattva, always is conscious of the correlation between Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela. Only that kind of devotee can understand Radha Krishna in the age of Kali. Without going through Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, it is practically impossible to effectively understand Radha Krishna Leela in this age. But one who proceeds through the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, can actually have a chance to understand Radha Krishna. To establish this point very clearly, Kaviraj Goswami is going to describe the mercy that he got with no self-aggrandizement motivation whatsoever. Now, this is extraordinary. Naturally, you would think that someone who received the blessings of Lord Nityananda personally in such an extraordinary way, there would be some, at least a little pride in presenting it. Allow me, Prabhuj, to present what Lord Nityananda has done for me. I know I'm humble. I'm fallen. Still, I think you should know what Lord Nityananda has done for me. How it is that Kaviraj Goswami, undergoing such an extraordinary event, is able to present it with 100% humility. This is mind-blowing. And he's doing it as service. He wants to firmly convey the point that you cannot understand Lord Chaitanya without Nityananda and vice versa. And of course, he's glorifying Lord Nityananda. And he's showing, by his autobiographical account, he's showing the way to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He's showing the way to get the mercy of Vrindavan, the way to get the mercy of Radha Krishna. He's doing all that through his pure, selfless autobiographical presentation. This is Vaishnav literature at its pinnacle. Let's just hear a few words from Kaviraj Goswami. The ocean of Lord Nityananda's glories is infinite and unfathomable. Only by his mercy can I touch even a drop of it. He's saying that he can't even touch the Lord Nityananda's glories without a drop, without his mercy. He can't even touch a drop of that ocean. This is how he so effectively presents himself as utterly dependent. He's elaborating the infinite expanse of the Lord's glories and then saying, I need his mercy just to touch a drop of that ocean of glories. Please, when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, don't just pass over these extraordinary descriptions like they're a literary embellishment. Oh, the ocean of mercy, the ocean of glories. Only by his mercy can I touch a drop. It is very poetic and beautiful, but he's actually feeling this way. That is the inconceivable thing. You're tasting, you're experiencing bhakti bhava in its perfection, the emotions of being a servant. And then he invites you, he asks permission. Please listen to another glory of his mercy. He made a fallen living entity climb to the highest limit. To disclose it is not proper, for it should be kept a confidential. It should be kept as confidential as the Vedas. Yet I shall speak of it to make his mercy known to all. And then he speaks directly to Lord Nityananda. O Lord Nityananda, I write of your mercy out of great exultation. Please forgive me for my offenses. I have often said, I have no doubt that anyone can learn Vaishnav behavior, Vaishnav etiquette, Vaishnav humility, just by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you pay close attention to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's delivery, his presentation. Yes, it's so far beyond us, but still, a drop will rub off. All right. Kaviraj Goswami is going to relay about the Prema Dham, the reservoir of all love, Minakatena Ramdas. He came to the house of Kaviraj Goswami. And Minaketana Ramdas was publicly just overflowing with ecstatic love of the Lord. He would jump upon others' backs and ride on them. He would slap them with his hand. He would hit them with his flute. From his eyes poured a constant shower of tears. This sounds unreal. But this is the effect of the perfect stage of devotional service. His body would tremble. Sometimes he would be stunned. And all of a sudden, he would shout out the name, Nityananda! And everyone would be astonished at the potency of his shout. This is a real character. This is an extraordinary personality. Obvious, yes? But at the home of Kaviraj Goswami, there was a brahmana who was serving the deity. And while Minakatena Ram was present there, this brahmana didn't offer him any respect. He just thought, I'm serving the deity. No doubt his mentality was, well, who is this person anyway? Minakatena Ramdas became angry. Now you may wonder, if he's such a pure devotee, such a glorious devotee, why is he becoming angry? Just because someone didn't respect him. Naturally, you would think, this is not the proper standard of devotion. Someone doesn't respect you? Well, Amanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. You have no desire for prestige. You have no desire for respect. And you're giving all respect to others. That's what Mahaprabhu taught. So why is Minaketana Ramdas angry that this priest who's serving the deity is not offering him respect? He's angry because he sees it as an offense to Nityananda Prabhu, his worshipable Lord. These are high devotional, high bhakti dealings. And we shouldn't imitate. Prabhu, you haven't respected me, therefore you are offending the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Minaketana Ramdas, he was just 100% carrying the mercy of Lord Nityananda and saw himself as Lord Nityananda's servant. And that bhava was so intense and pure that he became angry. You don't recognize me, don't you understand? You are slighting Lord Nityananda. There was not one trace of haughtiness or pride or arrogance. It's hard to understand, I know. But this is the glory of pure devotion. So Minakatena Ram Das said, here we go again, another Ramaharshana Sutta. He didn't stand up to honor Balaram when Balaram entered the assembly. Similarly, this priest doesn't stand up when Nichanandaram, Balaram's devotee, is present. He was angry. But he said that, and then he just danced away, singing ecstatically. His emotions were pure. Therefore, he could show devotional anger, and the next moment, singing and dancing in ecstasy. Sometimes, do you do this drama here? What was the Brahmana's reaction? You would think that after seeing this extraordinary devotee, and then that devotee becomes angry. First, tears are showering from his eyes in ecstasy, and then he becomes angry at you. And then he goes on singing and dancing in ecstasy. You'd think, someone would wonder, what's going on? Now, the priest thought, I'm serving Lord Krishna. I'm serving the deity. That's all that matters. This is Kanishtha Adhikari behavior. You are serving the deity, but you cannot recognize the glories of the devotees. So, the festival ended that they were having at Kaviraj Goswami's house. Minakatena Ram Das goes away after first offering his blessings to everyone. And on his way out, there was some kind of controversy between Minakatena Ram Das and Kaviraj Goswami's brother. Kaviraj Goswami's own brother didn't understand. Like, in other words, there must have been some dispute. Like, why are you saying these things about the priest I have here, the pujari, calling him another Ramaharshana Sutta? Well, what is all this? Kaviraj Goswami doesn't go into the dialogue of the dispute, but he says there was a dispute. And what was the basis of that dispute? The brother had firm faith in Lord Chaitanya, but only a glimmer of faith in Lord Nityananda. It's true that Nityananda, Avadhut, does many bewildering things. But you have to take the whole package. Chaitanya Nitai. Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitai. The brother just wanted to accept Lord Chaitanya, half the hen. He didn't want to worry about Nityananda Avadhut. So that's why Minakatena Ram Das was unhappy in his heart. He knew Kaviraj Goswami's brother is off. He has made a great mistake. Next, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami began to chastise his own brother. He explained to him, these two brothers, they're like one body. They're identical manifestations. If you don't believe in Lord Nityananda, you will fall down. He's warning his brother. How can you have faith in one and disrespect the other? This is very important, Siddhanta, about the sun and the moon that have arisen together. Normally you just see the sun rising or the moon rising. But in the case of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the sun and moon have arisen together. And now this point of the two luminaries being in the sky together is being further emphasized by Kaviraj Goswami through his own autobiographical account. My brother only recognized the sun and didn't recognize the moon in the sky at the same time. This is the artistry of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So what was Kaviraj Goswami's conclusion to his brother? said, better you disrespect both brothers than accept one and not the other. Better you just have nothing to do with both of them than make this concoction of focusing on Lord Chaitanya and disrespecting Lord Nityananda. It would be better to be an atheist and not believe in both brothers than to make this concoction in which you accept one and not the other. While Kaviraja Goswami was chastising his brother in that way, Minaketna Ramdas was still in the vicinity. And we can say that to further emphasize Kaviraja Goswami's point to his wayward brother, Minaketna Ramdas then broke his flute in anger and departed. Yes, Kaviraja Goswami has spoken rightly. I give my seal of approval. I break my flute. I go away. His brother has offended Nityananda Prabhu. Again, Kaviraja Goswami just gives a hint. Before, he had said there was a dispute between Minaketna Ramdas and my brother, and now he's saying, after Minaketna Ramdas broke his flute and left in anger, my brother fell down from his spiritual life. So you see, unfortunately, the propensity of the jiva to misuse independence and fall down happens even during the time of Lord Chaitanya, what to speak of now. The independence of the jiva is always there. This brother had such an exalted family. He's the brother of Kaviraja Goswami. He has in his home Minaketna Ramdas, the prema dham, the abode, the reservoir of prema, and still he's making such a mistake that he falls down. Now Kaviraja Goswami embarks upon describing his own mercy. He went to sleep that night and he had a dream of Lord Nityananda. He beautifully describes Lord Nityananda. Glossy, blackish complexion, moving to and fro, intoxicated by the holy name, chanting Krishna, 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 Krishna. Bees buzzing around his lotus feet. These bees are all cowherd boy devotees, fanning Nityananda Prabhu, offering him betel nut, chanting and dancing. Kaviraja Goswami gives such a beautiful description of Lord Nityananda's beauty. Nityananda Prabhu had appeared to him in the dream, Kaviraja Goswami said, because Nityananda Prabhu was pleased that Kaviraja Goswami had chastised his brother and told his brother the correct Siddhanta. To show his pleasure, Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him and then gave him instruction. Go to Vrindavan. There you will experience all that you should experience. The road to your future service will open once you go to Vrindavan. And then, with a wave of his hand, Nityananda Prabhu beckoned him to Vrindavan. To Vrindavan. Upon arriving in Vrindavan, Kaviraja Goswami took shelter of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. He describes that all that shelter was because of Nityananda Prabhu. Because of Nityananda Prabhu, he says, number one, I got shelter in Vrindavan. Number two, I got the lotus feet of Rupa and Sanatan. Number three, I got the association of Raghunath Das. And number four, I got the benediction of Srup Damodar Goswami's association. All this because of Nitai's mercy. From this, we can learn that the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the mercy of Lord Nityananda, leads to the mercy of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And then Kaviraj Goswami says, that mercy took me through the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. First, the mercy got me to Vrindavan. Then the mercy of Lord Nityananda took me to the Goswamis of Vrindavan. And then the mercy of Lord Nityananda got me the blessings of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. So he describes the whole package as coming to him by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All these most exalted Vaishnava happenings and experiences, he says, are all because of Lord Nityananda's mercy. And remember, Lord Nityananda is the one who wants to give bhakti to everyone without any discrimination. Lord Chaitanya himself recognized that propensity of Lord Nityananda. Once in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu told Nityananda, "Hey, Sripad, holy man, I have something for you to do. I have a mission that only you can accomplish. Not even I can do this, but you can. Don't come to Jagannath Puri every year. I have something better for you to do. I want you to deliver the most fallen persons in Bengal." That same Lord Nityananda introduces one to the mercy of the six Goswamis, introduces one to the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. That same Nityananda who is doing everything to save Jagai and Madhai, he also does all these most exalted deliveries, delivering you to Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Sup Damodar, Raghunath Das, Radha Madan Mohan. We thank Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami for giving us insight into the unlimited expanse of Lord Nityananda's mercy. As I began our discussion, I said that today is the day for all those who feel it's hopeless to be Krishna conscious. Bhakti is glorious, but it's impossible to complete. Today is your day. We have tried to present the whole expanse of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy program, taking you from the Jagai Madhai level. And remember, Kaviraj Goswami says he's more sinful than Jagai Madhai. Taking you from that level on to Vrindavan, on to the Goswamis of Vrindavan, on to the deities of Vrindavan. Let us never mistake the way that Kaviraj Goswami's brother did. Let's always see the impossible, the sun and the moon in the sky together. Then you'll understand clearly how to progress in devotional service. And remember about the engineering process in the heart, which normally you shouldn't see. How the two Bhagavats, the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat, are working together. And by that combined action, or through that combined action, the Lord himself works to instill bhakti rasa in your heart. And once those loving mellows of devotional service, bhakti rasa, are flowing in your heart, the Lord himself, who has caused that to happen through the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat, that same Lord comes under the control of the love. We pray today for bhakti bhava, the emotions of devotional service. The emotions of servitude emanate from Nityananda Ram. We pray that we'll be allowed entrance into that real world of emotion. Selfless service. We'll stop here, and perhaps you have some questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you are talking about in the class is about the devotee should not become callous in Krishna consciousness. If you become callous or you become a little bit loose in devotional life, then the nectar which Nityananda Prabhu wants to give it to us will not be able to get it. So I would like to get a very clear realization of yours is that when you spend so many years in devotional life, a time comes in our devotional life where we become a little bit relaxed. A stagnation type of a thing comes in our life where we don't like to do anything as such because of our past conditioning is so strong that conditioning has overcome us. And we wanted to be apart or aloof from all the things and just wanted to sit on one side itself. And we don't want to do the activities or that enthusiasm has been completely subdued at that time. And we have that fear in our life that if that has been prolonged for a long period of time, we might go away from devotional service altogether. So when that stage comes in our life, what a devotee should do to see to it that enthusiasm again comes up back and remains in the same platform what it was before.
I was speaking about familiarity, which comes about through carelessness, but also I was using the word callousness, callous. That means like on the skin, like on the heel of your foot, the skin gets very hard. So the callousness on the heart, these hard spots on the heart develop because we're taking bhakti in a familiar way. No big deal, devotional service, it's always going on. Kirtan's always going on. I've been doing this for so long. Yes, carelessness is also a part of it. You don't care. But that carelessness, not caring, happens in a very refined and religious way. And then gradually your heart becomes hard. The calluses on your heart develop. And you can't feel the devotional emotions anymore. You lose the emotional thrust to be a servant. And you start to consider bhakti to be like religious ritual. I've done my rituals. I've done enough of those rituals. One unfortunate devotee told me, you know, why are all the devotees asking, do I chant my 16 rounds? I did that for so many years. Now I have internalized it all. So I don't have to anymore do my sadhana. You consider that bhakti is it's ritual and you've done your share of ritual. What more is there to be done? When this unfortunate condition comes upon us, then we have to arrange to spend some quality time with our Krishna consciousness. Just like people often discuss relationships. When a relationship becomes familiar and the taste departs, the persons in the relationship are supposed to spend quality time together to reignite the taste. The prime relationship is with devotional service. So sometimes if we feel we've become too familiar, we have to make a special effort to reignite the flame. That motivation to give quality time so that you'll reignite the flame, that motivation comes through proper association. If you do away with proper association, the situation is very bleak. But if you always arrange for yourself to be in enlivening association, even if by chance some hard spots on the heart develop, you'll be motivated to spend the quality time with bhakti to become re-enlivened again. In good association, that will happen. In fact, in good association, you'll always be looking at your heart, inspired by the Prabhus around you. Look, they're all doing such wonderful service. It's like whenever I come here, I just think, even the doorman at the gate's doing more service than me. So you're forced to look at your heart by the mercy of the Prabhus, and you, in that way, you keep ever fresh. You keep on the cutting edge due to the association around you. But without that association, it's very, very difficult. You'll so easily lose your taste in Kali Yuga. You'll lose your spiritual taste because of the dense darkness all around. A dense darkness in which everyone thinks they see so clearly. And they're completely blinded. It would be one thing if everyone was blind and they admitted they were blind. But they're all blind and they are completely convinced they see clearly. What is the problem? Simply make money and you'll be happy. How could you have any doubts about this process? Why complicate this sublime process? Without proper devotee sangha, you'll be contaminated by that. It's just too omnipresent. And indeed, you'll make offenses. So the secret to keep your heart always moist is keep in enlivening association. And then even if these ups and downs come, you'll easily be able to sort yourself out. Anything else?
Maharaj, you are talking about this economical development thing is that, as you might have observed, that all over the world right now, an acute recession has taken place.
In India also?
India also. We are affected by the recession in a very big way. So because of that recession, most of the, even devotees also losing the jobs. They are going through a very tough time right now.
Here in Mumbai?
In Mumbai. Mm. So due to that reason, many people are losing the job. They have to work harder now what it was before. And they are always in anxiety and pressure that they might be kicked out at any time. So in that circumstances, what a devotee has to do in these circumstances to maintain his Krishna consciousness very smoothly and not getting affected with that, because householder is always in that anxiety. If the job has been gone out, it will be finding it difficult to maintain his day-to-day living as such. So what is to be done?
Let's look at things from an overall cosmological point of view. This is the middle planetary system. That means you'll never have complete happiness materially, and you'll never have complete distress materially. There'll never be complete economic prosperity. There'll never be complete economic devastation. Always back and forth, back and forth. Economic boom, economic bust. One day happy, next day distress. That you have to understand the whole picture. You get that whole picture by reading Bhagavatam. This is the middle planetary system. You're never going to have a completely clear shot at material happiness, a completely clear material opportunity at material happiness. It's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes Srila Prabhupada would really shake your thinking up by taking some great landmark event in history, such as when India became independent. And just to teach you this point, that we're in the middle planetary system, there's never going to be an event that will lead to complete material happiness. He would say, oh, independence, so what? What really has changed since independence? He would say, ooh, how can you say that? Ooh. But you'll see these constant happinesses and distresses going all the time. They're coming. That's the middle planetary system. Just like in the USA. Oh, the new president was elected. 4 million people gathered and crying and also happy a new day has come. And just count the number of months before they all start cursing him. If he can't save the economy, they'll treat him like a dog. And they'll forget all about the tears, the joy. Oh, how wonderful our nation is. This could only happen in America. I was, Rod Nathamaraj and I were discussing, because I saw some film clips, video clips of the election night victory. And, of course, Chicago is Maharaj's hometown. 200,000 persons gathered in the park in the city. And they're all just embracing one another, crying. It was like, I had to compare it to the, what is it, the, when that I think is it the Chandan Yatra? Which Yatra when everyone throw in the flowers here and there? Push Abhishek. It was exactly like that. Oh, there it is. Ah, waving the flags. Ah. Again and again, they would give the Siddhanta, only in America could this happen. Such outpouring of mundane bhava. But remember, this is the middle planetary system. You never get complete material happiness. So in a few months, they'll be cursing him. Another great emotional event in current world history. For me, that the presidential election was nothing to me. But because I spent years behind the Iron Curtain, when the Berlin Wall came down, that was emotional for me because I knew how much people had suffered on the other side of the Berlin Wall, how East Germany was one of the most repressive regimes humanity has ever seen. For every 6 persons in that country, there was one police or one police informer. The people were in chains. And I saw how they suffered when they tried to be Krishna conscious and the secret police would brutally smash them. And I remember crossing back and forth over the Berlin Wall, being so terrorized by the police. We couldn't even wear neck beads, couldn't wear a Brahmin's thread because they were onto that. You could be wearing regular clothes but have your shirt collar covering your neck beads and Brahmin's thread, but they would just call you into the room. Okay, take off your clothes. Aha, what is this? And they would be on to you. It was such a hellish experience. So when the Berlin Wall came down, it was emotional for me because I knew how much people had suffered there who wanted to be Krishna conscious. But what happened a few months later? A half a year later, when the full impact hit West Germany, that now you have to pay for the economic problems of East Germany. What did the West Germans say then? Put the wall back up! We have to pay for those guys? We don't care, they're fellow Germans. We're having economic problems because of them? Put the wall back up! This is middle planetary system. Always mixed happiness and distress. So similarly, now they're economic tough times. Watch and see how Krishna takes care of his devotees. That will be very interesting. Because actually when a devotee works, it's not really the job that is maintaining the devotee. It's Krishna. So maybe devotees will have to live more simply. But still, watch and see. Krishna will take care of them. Krishna will take care of them. Krishna's devotees will take care of them. This temple specializes in caring for devotees. You'll see that happen. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for a wonderful class, Maharaj. Maharaj, you were sharing that in bhakti, like, devotees consider themselves humble, and you were sharing that with Krishna Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. Now, in material world, especially in job scenario, you have to take credit at least for the things you have done. Mm. And people are there all around to take your credits. Mm. Now, to save job, you have to do that, and it's like changing roles. When you are in office, you are a different person. When you are at home, you are a different person. Like changing hats and you are in different role. Now at that position, you are trained in such way that again and again you have to at least to put your coin. That's the job, I have done it. So I must get the credit back. But ultimately, when you change hat and come back home or again back in the real situation, when change roles, you don't get the same mood back, because most of the times we are spending in job, trains, whatever. So it sometimes you're lost, like, where are you exactly? So what should a devotee do in that such conditions?
Yes, I understand what you're saying. It's a reality. It requires development of expertise in bhakti, how to switch back and forth between these different styles of behavior. But if the goal of your working is to give yourself and your family and others Krishna consciousness, you'll be empowered to make that switch. You're not going to work to get, you're going to work to give. You want to provide the facility for yourself and your family that they can be Krishna conscious. And if possible, you want to help others be Krishna conscious. You're going to work in order to give. Therefore, you can then act in all the appropriate ways. Yes, yes, I have done this. The other department chief, I don't know what he was doing. I think he was sleeping, but our department has gotten it together. You'll be able to do all that knowing that your purpose is to give, not to get. It reminds me of a question some Sankirtan Vaishnavis asked Srila Prabhupada. You know, the Bhagavatam says that we should, you know, be very quiet and soft-spoken and mild-mannered, but then when we're preaching, when we're distributing books, we have to be very forward. So how do we put the two together? For Srila Prabhupada, there was no problem how they would put the two together. He said, you have to be a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. So that's a good principle for the working men. A lamb at home and at the workplace, you're a lion. Yes, I did it. You're saying like that for Krishna's pleasure. Yes, our department is number one. Make no mistake about it. The other departments are slacking, but our department is the most productive. Look at the figures. Look at the stats. It's clear where the glory should go. uh, And that reminds me, I had it marked on my calendar that I should approach you for, you know, increase in salary. I know what you mean. In devotional life, you don't do that. Excuse me, Prabhus, but I just want to remind you that I've been performing devotional service for 5 years now. It's time for a promotion. What position, higher position in the temple hierarchy do you have for me? But in the workplace, you know, you have to do what you have to do. But if you're working in order to give Krishna consciousness, it'll come natural to you. You'll be able to make that switch easily between the home mode and the work mode. So when you walk out of the office, you can just laugh about it. Go back to your devotional atmosphere at home. Just remember, you're at work to give. This is spiritual economics. You're not going to work to get for me, for me, for me. So therefore, because you're going to work to give, you're able to adopt easily all the necessary behaviors because your motivation is pure. All right? So if there are no more questions, I thank you all very much for your kind association. Hare Krishna.